All right. Any questions? Always start out with any questions. If I can get enough questions, I won't have to worry about it. No questions, huh? Okay. That's good. I must have done a real good job. Nobody's asking any questions. We're going to talk about basic elements of salvation. Now, most of the time, if somebody asks you what a person must do to be saved, you would give them five elements, so to speak. That's kind of a standard thing, but I think we miss a lot in our teaching if that's all we do. I've known of many people who are baptized, but their lives didn't change. We stress baptism for the remission of sins, but very seldom do you hear people expressing or emphasizing that repentance is necessary. It says Jesus came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I don't know if I've done this here or not, but I probably have. I always ask people this question: do you really, and I mean really, want to go to heaven? Is that your desire? If you do, and this is the case with most people, we have to change a little bit and do a different thing than we did when we were in the world. There are a lot of folks who have come into the kingdom of God and they're just the same as they were before they came in. We sometimes stress it's easy to be a Christian. Well, I don't think that's true. I think it's difficult because it's a life's work. We just can't get in and just say, well, I'm in now and everything's okay. So we're going to talk about basic elements forming an essential foundation or a starting point. That's what basic means. We're going to go back to the beginning. I don't know how many times in your study and you've talked to people that you go back that far. But I always found out that in my teaching, in my study, and in my life, I need to have a starting place. If I intend to finish where I want to go, and of course my desire is to go to heaven, and I would like for you to be there. And so maybe after this series of lessons, you'll have a better understanding of who you are and what you really want out of life. When you talk about elements, you're talking about components of the whole. Parts into which the whole may be resolved. That sounds like a strange definition, but that's it. An element can be several things. It can be chemical, physical. It's a different situation. But it's a component of the whole part. It's just an element of it, just part of it. And in salvation, do you really think about salvation and what it really means? What is salvation? If someone asked you a definition of salvation, what would you say? Well, I wrote down the deliverance of the soul from sin and its consequences. If you notice there on the sheet, it says it indicates danger. Now, if you're getting ready to go over a waterfall, that's going to be dangerous, isn't it? Especially if you don't swim good and at the bottom of that fall is rocks and things of this nature. That's a danger that you're facing. Well, that's what sin does. We get into this waterfall of sin in our life and we enjoy it for a long time because, you know, sin is fun. If it wasn't, you wouldn't do it. If you could say that sin was not fun and you didn't enjoy it, then you probably wouldn't do it. That's why a lot of people aren't coming to Bible class. It's no fun in their life. But, you know, fellowshipping with Christians should be the best time of your life. It should really be fun. You have the understanding that you're all going in the same direction, living by the same law, doing the same thing, loving the same people, that one day you will be with eternally. Now, if that doesn't make you want to do it, then you need to study. And just like Paul told Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth. And that's what I want us to do this series, is handle rightly God's word. God says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, on one occasion, Jesus talked to the Israelites, and he said to them that they were in bondage. And they said, well, we've never been slaves. Well, that was, you know, that was not right, because for over 400 years, their nation was in slavery. It's kind of interesting what people say in the Bible. And you say, you know, everything in the Bible is true. Well, when men say things in the Bible, it might not be true. Just like they say, we've never been slaves. Well, maybe personally they hadn't, but they were slaves and didn't know it. They were servants of sin. Now, you can be a slave in two ways. You can be a slave for God, or you can be a slave for the devil. And that's your choice. Now, you know, normally slaves don't get a choice. If somebody captures them and takes them into slavery and ties them up or handcuffs them or something like that, that's not their choice. And so you don't have to be in sin. The Bible doesn't say you have to sin. I don't know where we got that idea. It's not biblical. You don't have to sin. And we'll talk about that throughout the lessons. But let's look at the first week. Why must the lamb die? Well, as I said, this is going to be basics. It's going to be basic doctrine. It's going to be something that we can go to the Bible. And every question, or if we have any questions in these lessons, they can all be answered with the truth. Not with my opinion or your opinion, but with what God has to say. And you'll notice that the first scripture here is Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 20. Let's read it. Let me tell you a story. People like stories. I like stories. There was a young boy years ago that came to his father and he said, Father, why are you who you are? Why are you a Jew? Why do you follow God? And who is God? Who do you really follow? And if you do, why? And the father said, well, son, that's a good question. If he said, in fact, God said you would ask this. And so we go to Deuteronomy chapter 20, or chapter 6, verse 20. God says to the Jewish father, when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is the meaning of this testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? He tells him what to answer. And so the father tells the son a story. And he starts off by saying, the reason I'm a Jew is because that's what I was born into. You know, the reason I'm a man is because I was born male. I didn't have any choice. This father didn't have a choice to be born into the Jewish family. And he said, when I was a young boy, about your age, I remember my parents telling me that they were in slavery for over 400 years. Now, the reason I'm a Jew, son, is because that's my birthright. I was born there. I had no choice. And my parents had no choice, but they were also in slavery. And things happened that they finally got out of slavery and things were better. But not as good as they could be. And he looked at his son. His son looked at him and said, but Father, all of these things you've told me, why did the lamb have to die? Now, this was sort of a time when the Jews were still remembering Passover. And so the son was wondering, why did that lamb have to die? He said, that's a good question, son. He said, I'll tell you a story about it. He said, I like stories, and you like stories, so let's just go find out why the lamb had to die. Now turn with me, if you will, as soon as I figure out where I'm going. My wife said, did you bring your stuff? And I said, yes. And it's right here in front of me. You know, as you get older, and most of you will if you live long enough, you misplace things, and so do I. But the father said, I was a slave in Egypt. I was a slave. My parents were slaves. And we were under a Pharaoh who did not like us. It wasn't a good life. They made us work, didn't feed us all that much. We didn't have a whole lot that belonged to ourselves. And we had taskmasters and all of those types of things. And it was a miserable life. And he said that God recognized that. This very God that I serve. And he looked down on our affliction. And he went to a prophet. And he told this prophet, I'm going to send you down to Egypt so you can tell Pharaoh to let my people go. That sounds easy enough, doesn't it? Can you imagine if someone would send you to a land where your people were enslaved? And knowing how Pharaoh felt about the Israelites, and you had to go and meet him face to face and tell Pharaoh to let the people go. Well, you remember the story how Moses didn't want to go. He made as many excuses as he could. Well, I can't speak well. Things like that. And God said, well, I'll send your brother with you. I'll let him be your spokesman. Well, who will I say sent me? Well, he said, I am sent you. So you can imagine the wide-eyed boy here just listening to all this and wondering, wow, this must be some story. Well, you remember Moses went down and Pharaoh finally decided to let God's people go. But before he decided that, you know, he took away their straw and made them gather their own to make bricks. He made it as hard as he could for them, and they didn't even let up one brick that they were supposed to make, and now they had to find their own straw. Slavery is a very, very bad thing. especially if you're the slave. It is not pleasant. Now, I've been a slave. I remember when I was in sin. I was in bondage to the devil. Well, it's a different kind of slavery, but it's the same thing mentally. If you understand what sin is, and the wages of sin is death. And many of those Israelites died at the hands of those taskmasters. Maybe some of them starved to death. I don't know. But he goes on with the story, and he tells his son that God said you would ask this question. God said you'd want to know. So he begins to tell him. And so he goes down, and we go to Exodus chapter 12, and we read some of this story. And it begins with verse 3. And this is why this father is telling his son, listen to it. He says, speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his fathers, a lamb for a household. Now there's the lamb. What was the question? Father, why must the lamb die? You know, a young boy might want to know that. I had a grandson one time. I still have him. I mean, he was young. And he wanted to go hunting with his grandpa. And we went out to hunt deer. And we were sitting in a tree stand out there in the woods. And he said, Grandpa, he said, are you going to shoot that gun? And I said, well, Carter, yes, if a deer comes. He said, how loud is that going to sound? Well, to make a long story short, he's ready to go home. He didn't want to hear that noise. And he wasn't sure he wanted to see that deer get shot. So I agreed and called his mother, and she came out to pick him up in the woods. And she got to, he didn't want to go. He started crying, he wanted to stay. Well, if you know grandchildren, you just have to go ahead and take them home. Because it would be the same thing over. And she wasn't going to come back and forth. You all know my daughter, Rhonda. She goes here. But he cried because he had to go home. And it's kind of like this story here. Why does the deer have to die? Of course, the answer is not the same. So he goes on. He says here, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goat. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the house where they shall eat it. Now, there was a reason for this. And he tells his son, God told us that he was coming through the land that night. He said, I want you to go in the house. Don't come out. Stay in the house. Because the firstborn of the land was going to die. And the son said, well, Dad, you're the firstborn son in your family. Why didn't you die? And so he tells him, he says, God said, if you put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel and you stay in the house, when I come through, I will pass over you. Thus, the feast of the Passover. And the lamb had to die because this was God's command to save the firstborn of Israel. So it becomes a very clear answer. They were covered by the blood. And God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over. And he did. He came through the land. He saw the blood on my mother's and father's door, and we were in the house, and we did not die. But blood had to be shed so that we would not die. And that's how God used the blood of the Lamb. Then over in Exodus 14, as he continues the story, beginning with verse 21, they get out of the land. He said, we left. Oh, it was hard. We didn't have anything, and we were able to take what the Egyptians gave us. But now we were without a home, and we're out in this wilderness, and all of a sudden we look back, and here's this great army with chariots coming after us to take us back into slavery. And so, what happened, Daddy? Well, God put up a big flame, kept us safe. And we were there and wondering, what are we going to do? And then it said, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind. All that night, he made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. Now, can you imagine how scary that would be? Here you are. There's the enemy behind you. There's a sea in front of you, and now it's divided, and God says, go through the sea. He said, weren't you scared, Daddy? Oh, yes, I was scared, but I had to make a decision. Do I want to go back into slavery, or do I want to cross into freedom? Now, I didn't know what freedom was going to be. I'd never been free in my life. I'd always been in Egyptian bondage. And said, Daddy, what did you do? He said, I went in and walked across on the dry land. Then what happened? Well, we all know what happened. When the Egyptians came in, all the wheels on the chariots came off. And they were all stuck on the dry land, and God let the waters come back and destroyed them. And we got into freedom all because the Lamb died. And God saw the blood. That's quite a story. And the thing about this story is it's absolutely true. It's exactly what happened. And so every year around this time, and God gave the dates and all that for it, and I won't go into that, they celebrated the Passover. And probably every year, some son said to his daddy, why did the Lamb have to die? Of course, we know the answer. To save the firstborn of Israel. And to bring judgment unto Pharaoh and his people. Every firstborn of man and beast in the land of Egypt died that night. Every one of them. Even Pharaoh's son died. Had the Lamb not died, they might still this day be in slavery in Egypt. In fact, we just came back from Egypt not too long ago and saw a lot of these things that Moses had seen, I'm sure. And right now they are 94% Muslim because the state says so. It's a state religion. So they're still kind of, the Egyptians today are still sort of in bondage religiously. Maybe they don't want to be Muslim. Maybe they want to have freedom like this country does. They could be what they want to be. But it's not really possible and live in a place like that. And it was the same thing when Egypt held the Israelites. They had to be slaves. They had no choice. But you have a choice. You do not have to be slaves indicating danger. They were rescued by God. God saved them from slavery. He kept them safe as he keeps us safe today. So as you go over to Proverbs chapter 22, and this has been a verse that has been difficult for people, especially mothers that bring their children up the best they know how, and the children go off and they leave the church. So we take this verse, chapter 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it, as if it's a command. It's a proverb. You can train up the child, and they will never forget. And if you're fortunate, and if they are not influenced by the world too much, they won't depart. But it doesn't say they won't, really. It just gives a proverb that says they will not, basically. But again, this is not a literal will not. So sometimes we don't train up children in the way that they should go. And it means more than just making them fear God. It's their lifestyle, and it's a lot of things involved in what they are. In fact, most of us are products of our mother and father. A lot of times I've heard women say, I've turned into my mother, or I've turned into my father. And I think that's what he's talking about here. But you can't be discouraged. Well, you can be discouraged that your children aren't faithful, but you can't blame yourself because you're not responsible for the sins of your children. And luckily, they're not responsible for your sins. So when we face God and we want to go to heaven, then we've got to stand on our own and answer for the deeds that we do here on this earth. And then over in verse 17, he says, incline your ear to hear the words of the wise and apply your hearts to my knowledge. This is what the Israelite father was trying to do for his son. This was a story that he was telling so his son would know with certainty why the lamb had to die. They were rescued because the lamb died. And God spared them because he saw the blood. Now, our children don't ask us that question. We're not Jewish. We don't keep the Passover. We were never slaves, or our relatives were never slaves in Egypt. And so our son is not going to ask us that question about Passover. Unless they're just curious and they know the story and they want to know why God killed the lamb. Well, actually, God didn't kill the lamb. The father did. Commanded by God. So your son might ask you this question. Why did Jesus have to die? You know, he is considered the Passover lamb. And the reason Jesus had to die is because we're in danger. Sin is dangerous. And as long as we possess that, as long as we continue in that way of life, we will die. There's no way out. And me dying is not going to save you. Or the world, or even my wife. Unless somebody's trying to shoot us and I get in front of her and I take the bullet and I die and she lives, that's about the only way I'd save her. Or if I was able to rescue her when she was going over a waterfall. But at my age, I'd probably go with her. We were talking about that tonight at dinner. You know, the guy was, his wife had died and she was in the coffin. And he said, oh, what am I going to do? And a little voice came out of the coffin and says, he says, where's my blue shirt? She said, in the closet on the left. And he said, well, how do I turn the TV on? Well, there's a little remote button over there. You turn and you do this. Now, I've had to ask Martha with our TV, how do I get to this? And she knows all about that. And he kept asking her questions. She kept answering him. Here she was dead in the thing. So he just jumped in the casket with her and pulled down the lid. And I guess that was the end of that. But why did Jesus have to die? Couldn't there have been a better way? Why did God have to send his son? Why would he send his son for me so I wouldn't have to die? So you wouldn't have to die. You know, we read this scripture a lot in John 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Didn't say it wouldn't perish. They said it shouldn't perish. By believing, you should be doing the things that God wants you to do. And we'll talk about that in later lessons. What are we saying? What are we telling our son? Kind of interesting, you know. You go over to Matthew chapter 12. Look at a few verses over there. He says in verse 33, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Behold, or a brood of vipers brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So we can not only know why Jesus died, but we have to fill our hearts full of the Lord. That's the command. God said, love me with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. He said, the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You remember in Luke 10 where the lawyer tempted Jesus and he asked him, what shall I do to be saved? He answered his own question, just what I answered. That's why Jesus had to die. Because of me. Because I was a sinner. I needed salvation. I was in danger. God says the wages of sin is death in Romans. I was going to die. And God said, I love you. I don't want you to die. That was not my purpose in creating the world so that you would die. I believe when God created Adam and Eve, he created them to live forever. That's why the tree of life was there. And after they sinned, that's why he cast them out, not letting them eat of the tree of life and live forever in that sin, in that bondage, in that danger. But man continued, and death entered into the world. And that's why the wages of sin is death. Very basic. We understand that. That's why the lamb died, because of bondage. We're in bondage in sin if we're still living that way. So the lamb had to die. And he goes on to say in verse 37, he says, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. And so you and I, today, we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. God is saying to Christians today, you're going to die one day. I'm going to call you home. But when I see the blood, you'll come home to me. You know, God made the spirit. He made the soul. He made the physical body. This body is going back to the dust. But he said the spirit is going to God who gave it. All spirits, good or bad. Then the separation is going to come. And the separation is going to be because some people are not covered in the blood of the Lamb. You begin to see the basic principle. You begin to see the elements of salvation that's been from the very beginning. When Eve took one bite of the fruit of that tree in the midst of the garden and gave it to her husband and he ate, they died. Oh, they didn't die right then. But now they had death for everyone. That's what brought death into the world. A deceitful serpent deceived the first woman and caused death. The Lamb had to die so the Israelites could be saved. Jesus, the Lamb of God, had to die so you can be saved. Way back before this, after that first sin, God said to Adam and Eve, or he said actually to Eve, that he was going to send Jesus. Now, he didn't say that in words there, but as we read and as we understand, we see the context, we go on and learn more, and we're taught, we realize that what he was talking about when he said, I'll put enmity between you and the woman. And he was talking about Christ. He was talking about a plan that he put in force that when you sin and you have to die, that you can be redeemed, being covered in the blood. Same situation as the Israelites. They were in danger. They were in slavery. Even though the blood and bulls and goats cannot take away sin, on this occasion, the blood of the Lamb saved the Israelites. Just like the blood of the Lamb saves you. That's why Jesus had to die. That's what you should be telling your children today. Satan owns you through sin. You know, people say, I'm my own person. I'm not going to follow Satan. I'm not going to follow. No. You're either going to follow Satan or you're going to follow God. There is no middle ground. There's no fence to set on. It's one or the other. I used to give an example in some of my lessons. I would tell people, and I would, on the pulpit, have two glasses. I said, this glass was full of good water. This glass is full of arsenic. And you know, arsenic is deadly poison. And I said, if you have an opportunity, which one you come up and which one would you drink? The water or the poison? Now, I was naive enough to think that everybody would choose the water. But I've lived long enough now to know that's not true. Maybe some of you are choosing the poison. And when you die, God will say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Now, if the Lord's son or God's son didn't die, there would be no hope. There would be no salvation. There would only be danger. That's all. Because everyone would be lost. Because not one of us had blood pure enough to satisfy saving our soul. So we can't do it. We'll get to about week three. We'll talk about not because me. Not because of me. Just a basic thing. So we all quote John 3:16, and then we look at Romans 6:21-23. We quoted many just a minute ago about the wages of sin, in case you're wondering where that scripture is. But your son might ask, how many times, Dad, is the wages of sin death? The answer is very simple. Every time. Sin will kill you every time. You'll stay in bondage to sin and be lost forever. I want us to kind of stop there and let you think about the Passover lamb and what God says in 1 John when he says, walk in the light as he is in the light, having fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ will save you from all sin. That's a continual thing. Because I'm not going to live a perfect life. I'm going to do things that's wrong. I hope I don't do them on purpose, but there's some things I probably have done I don't know is wrong. But when God sees the blood, he'll pass over. Shall we pray together? Our Father, our God in heaven, what a wonderful time that we can have studying your word. And we pray, Father, that we will go deeper into this subject, that we'll go beyond the elements of salvation, go even beyond that point, that we might grow in your grace and in your love and in your mercy, that our faith may become stronger, that we can glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.